Ladies, welcome to the Dating Den. Today, I am so super happy for you to be here because in the world of dating, for all of you very successful, busy women, I know that time becomes your enemy, right? And for a lot of you, your busyness and your work and your kids and your parents and your philanthropy and your home remodel and all the things that seem to get in the way of you making yourself and your love life a priority can actually be something that literally is that one thing that is between you and having the life that you want. So I thought it'd be really, really helpful to bring my go-to time management expert into the den to sort of slap you around a little bit and help you figure out a strategy to stop hiding in overwhelm and procrastination and busyness. So with that, and I'll give you her little bio in a sec, but I want to welcome Sarah Reif-Hecking into the den. Hello, lovely.
Hello. Thank you so much for having me. I'm so excited to slap some people around today. That sounds like a lot of fun.
Exactly. That's what we do in the den. So,
got it.
So ladies, let me introduce you to Dr. Sarah. She's the founder of True Focus Coaching. She's a speaker coach. She's a psychologist. She's got 20 years of experience helping people get to the next level in their lives. And we are soul sisters in this way that she's super passionate like I am about helping smart women, that have a hard time managing their time and their tasks, figure out a way that works for them. She is of the belief that you have to find a time management system that works for you. Solutions are found by paying attention to the present moment, and that just like Michelangelo had to chip away at the stone to find a statue, we have to get rid of all the extra shit that isn't in the core of your life. And, you know, I see this like with clients who I work with one-on-one. I see this with clients who are in my group programs. Like, there's just this huge, huge gap between someone who wants something and someone who achieves it, and how they use their time is really, really powerful. So I'm just curious, and actually I don't even really know the answer to this question, even though we're friends, is how did you get interested in this? I mean, how did this become your thing?
This became my thing because I come to it, you know, from hard work on my own. So I really struggled with my own procrastination and overwhelm as I was figuring out how I was going to get to my own goals, Marnie. So way back when I went to graduate school, I really hit a wall in terms of being able to juggle all the things that I needed to do. You know, to get a PhD in clinical psychology, I needed to learn research, run big research projects. I needed to figure out how to do psychotherapy, and I needed to do teaching, plus have a life, plus run my own household, all of those kinds of things. So when I was on that path, I really hit my own wall in terms of being able to juggle everything and manage it in a way that worked for me. So I had to really work hard to figure out how to get clear on where I wanted to go, get clear on the most important things in my life, the most important things in my work life at school, the most important things in my personal life, and how I was going to take care of all of it, because it was me taking care of me and nobody else. So my procrastination has really, and overwhelm has really cost me a lot. And in graduate school, it actually caused me to leave money on the table. So I remember I had this awesome little research job where I would go talk to people in the hospital and interview them about having a heart attack. And then I'd fill out forms and I'd send them back to the research hospital. And I got paid after I filled out the forms. But what happened, Marnie, is I would often do the interviews and fill out the forms, but not send them back to the hospital where they would know I filled out the forms so I could get paid. Yeah. So there was literally a stack of money on my table. And the money was really unsent in forms, right? So I really understand the cost of procrastination and overwhelm. It wasn't that I didn't know what to do. I just described to you what I needed to do. I just got to a place where I couldn't think straight. I couldn't get to it. And I couldn't take that next step to put it in the mail to get the money that I needed to run my own household. And that was at a time when, you know, every penny counted. So I want all the ladies on the line here to know I've been there, and I understand also how it's hard sometimes to really part the seas and make the space so that you can take the time to do what you need to do to take care of yourself, your life, and also find that guy of your dreams or the relationship of your dreams. I've been there.
I think this is so ironic because, you know, I've been doing these stop start challenges every month.
Mm-hmm.
So this month it is radical self-care and no procrastinating.
I love it.
I know. But here's the thing. I'm not like I kind of am a kick-ass person. I don't procrastinate on things. Like, I wouldn't be the person to leave the forms on the table, but I procrastinate on things that cause me low level stress, right?
Mm-hmm.
They're always there and they make me feel bad about myself. And so they make me feel behind. And they're also things that need to get done. And so what I think is really important is that for some of us, we're procrastinating in one area of our life and we're not in another. So you might like show up to work, ladies, and you're like balls to the walls or ovaries. I don't know what the right word would be. Right? You're like doing it. Then you're like, I really need to do photos for my online profile. Or I'm taking a class, right? Like, I signed up for this class and I'm not doing the work. Or I need to respond to these text messages. So it's important to really look at, like, just because you don't procrastinate in one area doesn't mean that you're immune. So what do you see, Sarah? Like, why is this such a big issue? And where do you see, like, what are the types of problems you see mostly in this?
Yeah, so, you know, procrastination and overwhelm become a big problem for people because they get in the way of you matching up your moments with where you want to go in your life, right? So you end up doing something altogether different or kind of swatting that stuff to the side or feeling, you know, clouded and, you know, like you have brain fog and you can't really think clearly. So you can't figure out how to take the next step. So they become such big issues for people because people start to not trust themselves, right? Mm. By the fifth time you've said, oh yeah, I'm going to sit down tonight and do that online, you know, participate in the online forum or figure out my profile or text that guy back, you start to not believe yourself anymore. And when you start to not believe yourself, then you don't trust yourself. And so then it's hard to really set a plan in motion that you're going to believe you're going to do because you have all of this experience not doing it.
My God, this is so huge. Like, wait, you just said something that connected the dots to me, which is an ongoing problem in women who are chronically single and have relationship and intimacy challenges. They don't trust themselves, Sarah, in the decisions they make around dating, right? The men that they choose.
Mm-hmm.
So what is phenomenal about that is that they don't trust themselves. So it's also telling themselves they're going to do stuff. Right. So that not trusting themselves is like a pattern that's leaking into their choices across the board, not just in like, you know, I'm going to work on my profile. But it's like, if I date that guy, I have a bad picker. And so what if he breaks my heart? So this is kind of like a deep problem, lack of self-trust.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I see it over and over again in this space where people get really overwhelmed or they procrastinate on something. Sometimes people freeze or avoid. What I call it, Marnie, is really the emotional component of time management. And we all have something. For some of us, it is clearly procrastination. You know, you have that thing that you keep not doing, like filling out your profile online, right?
Yep.
For some of us, it is, we're just so crazy busy. We really are not leaving enough space in our day to do the most important things, like find a life partner if that's what we're craving.
Yeah, totally.
Right?
Yep.
Some of us don't even know that we're crazy busy or that we're avoiding because we're too frozen. We're just like showing up and maybe doing whatever happens to come our way. Right?
Yep.
And then there are those of us that just like end up doing something altogether different than what we intended, no matter what plan we write out, right?
Yeah.
Those are all emotional pieces of time management. And what I want the ladies on the line to do is to start to ask yourself, which one of those resonates for me? Because then you can start to notice the very beginning of the procrastination or the overwhelm, the freezing or the avoidance, and get a sense about what's triggering it. Because you just said, you know, that the women you work with don't trust themselves to pick the right kind of guy, right?
Yep.
And I'm willing to bet that if they're having a hard time filling out their online profile, they also don't trust themselves to say, if I'm going to do something related to dating that's going to move me forward, like work with a mentor who's going to help me or take a class or fill out a profile or even go through this checklist, you know, that maybe somebody sent me, they don't trust that they're going to do that either. So we need to get really clear when that overwhelm, freezing, or avoidance pops up. What is it specifically that's setting it off? It might be the big picture of, well, I don't even trust I can be in a relationship. It might be the little piece of like, well, I don't even understand where to click to like put in my information on the online profile, right?
Yeah.
So you want to get it as specific as you can and start to really notice where that emotional piece pops up. And when you start to track it systematically, you know, at first you're not going to notice the little bit. You're going to notice when you're in full-blown avoidance, right?
Yeah.
So notice that. What are you avoiding? And then you might start to back it up a little bit and start to notice when you just start to feel like you're avoiding, or you just start to have that feeling of dread and you realize, oh, that's when you go for the glass of wine and, you know, your favorite binge watch on TV instead of taking the 10 minutes to respond to the guy on the text, right?
Yes.
Makes sense.
It totally makes sense. So let me ask you, so I have a couple of real life situations with some people
sure.
that I work with, and I'd love for you, because I know that you have, you know, a very different approach, and it's really diving into that. So I have a client who, one is just an example really about this emotional piece, was she was procrastinating writing her online profile. And she was making it be about, I don't know where to click. But when she actually addressed the emotional piece, it was like, she was actually, if she filled it out, that meant that she was actually going to have to date. And she was scared to date because she was scared to get hurt. So once she got down to the core and it was like, well, the first thing you have to do is write your profile. And does that make you unsafe? No, it's one baby step, right? So this is powerful. Now, for my other clients who are like, ending up doing what you're talking about, coming home, they're working their ass off, you know, give, full intention to do online dating, full intention to, you know, do that, have that hard conversation with someone, or even go out with their girlfriends just to flirt. And the couch and Netflix and a glass of wine calls. Like, what is the approach? Like, what can that client do so that she doesn't end up finding herself at 2 a.m. still embedded in TV and now totally too tired to go to the gym and has to work late and all of that kind of stuff?
Yeah, so a couple of things. One, start to notice like what comes up for you, right? When you come home late and you're exhausted and you really feel like you should go out and hang out with your girlfriends and flirt a little bit at the bar or whatever it is, go, I don't care, play volleyball, wherever it is, you're going to meet your guys, right? First start to notice, like, what is the feeling that comes up for you? Is it exhaustion? Is it that you don't feel safe? Is it that you feel stupid or you don't know what to wear or whatever that is? And chunk it down and solve that little bitty problem, right?
Yep.
Like, Marnie, when you were helping the woman who had a hard time, you know, clicking, finding where to click on the online profile and fill in that information, I'm sure you just walked her through the little step. And as soon as she was able to move through it, then she was able to start to realize, oh, you know what? It's really not about filling up the, you know, the words on the profile, right?
Exactly.
It's about, right? So when you get very specific, I like to say super specific about what that trigger is and where the emotion is popping up, then you can say to yourself, all right, let me solve this one little problem here. And then let me see where I am. Okay. Yep. So the first thing is always recognize where that emotion pops up. Recognize what's overwhelming you, what's causing you avoidance, what's making you exhausted, whatever that feeling is that shows up for you. The next thing is get really clear about when you want to work this in your life and put it in your weekly calendar, right?
Yep.
Just like it was a doctor's appointment or that ideal client that appointment you're not going to miss or an appointment with your boss. You got to set aside some time for yourself to do the most important things in your life. And if one of those things is finding a life partner, you got to give it some time because it's not just going to show up out of the ether. So set up a time that's going to work for you in the week and then get some accountability around that. And so say you pick Tuesday nights and that's the night you're going to go play volleyball and flirt with the guys there. Then find a girlfriend that's going to go with you, that's not going to, you know, that's going to work with you in the way you need to be supported. So when you call her up and you say, I'm tired, she'll say, I know. Yep, you're tired. And we're going. Right? So the key is that you find somebody that can support you in the way you need to be supported. And also you set up the framework. I like to call it a flexible template for your week, yep. Right? So pick those times that you're going to do a little bit of work towards the project of finding that ideal guy. Make sense?
Totally. Totally. I love this. I love this. So what is... I know that you are subscribed to this concept that we're all wired differently, right? And so there is no cookie cutter to
yes.
this. Because, like, for me, like, I like to time block. I like to, like, check mark and highlight. Like, I am such a dork. And my husband would look at my daytimer thing and be like, that is, like, my biggest nightmare. So we're all wired differently. So tell me about your three core philosophies and let's get into the, like, how do we bust through some procrastination and overwhelm?
Yeah. Okay. So we're all wired differently. So you have to be careful what you copy. And that example you just gave us, Marnie, is golden. So we all have time management strategies that work for us and don't work for us. So when I say we're all wired differently, be careful what you copy. What you need to know is though, even though we're all humans and we have similar brains, we're born with strengths and weaknesses related to planning activities and noticing how time is passing. Now, it's not a moral issue. It doesn't make you a good or a bad person. It's just like some people have stronger biceps than other people. What you need to know is that you can learn time management skills that work for you. And you need to set them up in a way that works with your brain. So for instance, some people notice that time is passing pretty easily. Some people feel like time is right now or sometime in the future. And there's really no clicking of the clock. You're right now and at some point you arrive in the future, right?
Yep.
So really important, and I'm willing to bet that somebody in your household has that feeling.
Yeah, exactly.
And so what you need to know and what if that is you or somebody you know, what you need to know is you just have to figure out how do you relate to time so you know it's passing. I actually am really bad at knowing that time's passing, right? So I have clocks everywhere so I can always check. And after like 25 years of running appointments with clients that tend to be 25 minutes or 50 minutes, I have kind of a 25-minute itch and a 50-minute itch. So, but I don't know which one it is unless I look at the clock. I really don't. And when I'm doing an interview like this, or if I'm talking with a client or I have a time-sensitive appointment, I have a clock close by so that I can check. Because I know my brain's not going to just tell me, oh, it's been 23 minutes, Sarah. You need to wind up and move on to the next appointment. So you want to make sure that you start to notice what does work for you. If time blocking really back to back time blocking works for you, great. If it doesn't work for you, no worries. That's why I teach a flexible template for your week so that you can time block in a way that works for you. you don't even have to time block. You can like have thirds of your day and say, in the morning, I'm going to get this done. In the afternoon, I'm going to get this done. In the evening, I'm going to get that done, right? It can be that much of a flow. What you do need to do is figure out how you set up a plan that allows you to trust yourself to get the most important things done in your life so that you're not worried about it, right?
This is huge because, you know, I'm all about the stories we tell ourselves, right? And so, you know, I'm so bad at time blocking. You know, I'm a procrastinator. You know, I used to pull all-nighters in college. Like, we really get stories about it. So I really want everyone to, like rewind, replay, underline, highlight, is that your brain is different. And so there's a, just because you were the all-nighter person, or just because you couldn't pull an all-nighter, or you hate time blocks, or you hate, you know, calendar reminders, there's other ways that work with your brain. So let go of the story that's saying, you know, I'm bad at, or I'm only good at. Yeah.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And know that whatever you practice, you get better at. I'm going to say it again because it's simple, but it's really powerful. Whatever you practice, you get better at, including how you manage your time. So even if you're born with a brain that isn't particularly great at planning over time, you can learn skills that will help you with that. And you can get support and set up support in your environment to help you with that.
I think Okay. Support and accountability are so huge. I mean, if that client would have been working with me, she probably would still be procrastinating on her online dating profile. I had another client, super successful, had a health goal, never literally, like, talk about your brain. Never dawned on her. She lives in this beautiful building, has a gym. Never dawned on her that she could get accountability by bringing a trainer into her gym.
Mm-hmm.
3 times a week. Like, literally, it just never occurred. She was like, I have to go to the gym, and I hate it. So it's this this open mind of, like, accountability, coming up with a plan that works for you, and getting support, right? That's learning a new skill. So, so huge. Okay, so let's talk about the 5 steps. To bust through procrastination and overwhelm, because I want women to remove the excuse for finding love. So let's give them a little high level view.
Absolutely. And we already started this conversation with the comment that recognize what's overwhelming you, what I like to call find the beast. Okay. So we all have a beast in our life, and I like to think about it as though it's a big, tall, 5-story dragon with a huge tail that's like as big as your house that breathes fire, right?
Yeah.
So if that guy lived in your village, you'd figure out where he lived, wouldn't you? And you'd make sure that you set up systems to keep him at bay so he didn't wreck the village and burn down your house and kill your kids, right?
Yes.
So the first thing is recognize what's overwhelming you, or whatever that emotional piece is to time management for you, the freezing, the avoidance, the dread, whatever it is. Okay, so find the beast. The next thing is calm that inner fear discussion. And notice that whenever we're avoiding something or freezing or, you know, finding ourselves doing something altogether different, there's often a negative discussion in our head related to that. And I call it an inner fear discussion. It's something like, I can't, I'm not good enough. There's something wrong with me, right?
Yep.
And I'm sure all the women that are listening that, you know, want to find that amazing life partner will resonate with this, that at some point you go to do something related to that and you feel like, I'm not good enough. I don't have the right clothes. My hair is wrong, whatever it is, right? So I want you to get a sense about what that inner fear discussion is and create a positive discussion that's consistent with being more productive and doing what you want to do, okay? So if it, let's say it's, I don't have the right clothes to go out to that event, right?
Yep.
I can't do it. I don't have the right clothes. All right. So the positive discussion might be something like, let me find a friend who I can borrow an outfit from. Or, who else could give me some support here? or I can pick one thing. I certainly have one thing in my closet that I feel comfortable in that I could wear out, right? So start changing that conversation so it's a positive conversation that's consistent with doing what you want to do instead of telling yourself you can't do it. It's usually an I can statement. So that's taming the dragon. And then the third step is enabling your routine and your environment to support productivity, what I like to call engineering your containment system. So this is like Jurassic Park. Did you see that movie?
I did.
Okay, or Jurassic World that just came out recently, a couple years ago now. And everything was fine in those movies until the containment systems went down, right? Yeah. So they were these big zoos that had life-size dinosaurs in that are dragons, right?
Yep.
And the containment system went down, the dragons came out and started, you know, trampling everybody, wrecking havoc. It was craziness.
Yep.
So this is where your routine and your environment can really be that containment system for yourself to keep your dragons at bay. And if we get back to the flexible template for your week, when you're going to do things related to relationship building, meeting people, online dating, whatever those pieces are for you, you want to set up a routine around that that makes it easy for you. And it might be, so it might be every night for 15 minutes, I go on and I check my profile. It might mean twice a week I do that. Whatever it is that's going to work for you that feels easy and can be a routine that you can show up to. So you start to trust yourself. Oh, it's just what I do. I sit down, I do that for 10 minutes in the evening, and then I go on and do whatever else I want to do. Okay?
I love it.
So that's the routine. And then the environment is really important too. And I'm talking about the physical environment. So one of the things that distracts us and pulls us sideways all the time, or that you can use to really help you do more of what you want to do, is your physical environment. Mm. Right? So what you can do here is set up your physical environment so that you have a workstation where I always do my dating stuff here. So if you get used to sitting in that one spot and doing your dating stuff, it's going to be easier for you when you sit down in that spot to do your dating stuff. Your body learns that you do certain things in certain situations, okay? You can also set up your environment to support being focused on that activity, right?
Yep.
So if you want to, do some work on your online profile, then make sure that you have this, you take the one thing that you need, probably your computer or your tablet. You go to one place where you're not going to be disturbed, right?
Yep.
And you set a timer and you say, I'm going to do this for 15 minutes, 25 minutes, whatever the chunk is that you want to do. And brief chunks really make a big difference here because they get you over those small humps. And you get a quick win, which is really important because that's going to help build momentum.
I love that. And environment too, right? Like, so that means, get off Facebook, get off Instagram, like don't go look at your ex-boyfriend's, Instagram right before you're going to go online dating, or because there's that whole comparison despair thing. So I think what you're talking about is that you want to really make sure that that environment is supporting you down to the last detail, right?
Exactly. And so it could be you want to listen to like a really fun, upbeat, piece of music or a cool video before you sit down to respond to a text. So you're feeling upbeat. And that's the power of the environment. And that's why it's really important to understand that the positive self-talk is only one piece of the puzzle. When it comes to productivity, when it comes to busting through procrastination and overwhelm, you also want to use the power of your environment to really support what you want to do because your environment actually predicts about 80% of your behavior.
That in the online profile, I'll just go back to that example because in coaching, like literally at first she was like, so what I think I'll do is I'm going to go find a quiet place and I'll like bring my laptop and I'll sit like by some water and I'll write my profile. And then we started talking about it more and she was like, actually, you know what I need to do? need to go to a Starbucks where there's lots of people, and I need to actually put on some super, like, my, like, pump me up, like, music, like my,
yes,
right, like my, like, party girl, like, what, you know. She's like, I'm gonna put that on, I'm gonna be around a bunch of people, I'm gonna be smiling, and I'm just gonna work on my profile. And it was interesting because she got really clear that what she thought would be supportive actually was gonna make her be isolated and have that the fear discussion, right? The inner fear,
yes,
discussion. But if she went in a place where it was public and she had the right music and she could actually focus more in that kind of environment. So the devil is in the details, isn't it?
It is. It is. And you can really, again, your environment, I got to say, is the single most powerful thing that people forget about.
Yeah.
All right. So use it, ladies. It makes a big difference. And whether it's listening to Beyonce or, you know, watching a silly video so that you're laughing and positive when you go to respond to somebody or go to type something, setting yourself up with a positive mood by having your environment support you with that is going to make a really big difference.
I love it. Okay, so what, there's two more steps. What are those?
Yes. So the fourth one is get support. And the notion here is, would you defeat a dragon on your own? I don't really think so. I think that stuff only happens in fairy tales.
Yeah, exactly.
Right? And I know that there's, whenever, I love asking that to live audiences because half the group will like raise their hand. And then I'll say, now, ladies, you don't have a magic spear with you. You know, you don't, right?
Yeah.
We don't have our princess capes. It's the real world. And if you were in the real world and there was a dragon as big as your house, you would have your neighbors with you. You would have somebody, you know, helping you walk around the perimeter, make sure he was on his side of the paddock and not in your village, right?
Totally.
So you need to make sure that you get support. Success never happens in a vacuum. And the most successful people on the planet, even if you think that they are doing it all on their own, when you peel back the curtain, they have support back there. So you get your own support in a way that works for you so that you can set yourself up for success, so that you can keep working these other steps and set up your routine and your environment to support your productivity. So that's where a great coach like Marnie comes in, who can really, you know, make things happen much more quickly for you, or an expert in a particular field can make a really big difference.
I think I want to elaborate on this a little bit because there's two things here that I think are really important. And this is sort of like my client who decided to get the personal trainer, right? Like, mm-hmm. sometimes support is delegating.
Yes.
Right? Like for me, I finally figured out that what I hated to do was go to the market. Right. Like I like cooking, but I just dread it. And then my kids would be like, there's no food. And then I'd feel like I'm a bad mom. Right. So, and I tried all these mind tricks, right? Like get myself there. And what I finally realized was like, wait, this is like, non-essential. Like it does not need to be me to go to the market. So I got help. Right.
Yes.
And when I come home from my little trip to Mexico on Sunday night and I open that fridge and it's filled with healthy food and there's some soup that was made that's in the fridge. And I really think there's so many resources and apps and ways that really busy women can get support to delegate those non-essentials, and that it doesn't mean you're weak or you're lazy. That I think that that's a huge thing, so you can focus your time on the tasks that are essential to you. Like you need to do them.
Yes. Like dating. No, you can't have a body double do it. It doesn't work really well that way. And this gets to one of my other core philosophies, Marnie, that it's really all about pruning in our lives, right? You want to get really clear about what's most important to you and you want to prune the rest, just like you would that beautiful oak tree. That's going to live 100 years. It does that because somebody's gone in and cut out the dead wood and pulled out the shoots that are going sideways. So the energy goes into those big branches. So if you want to have a relationship that's going to be in your life and going to be strong, you have to figure out how to put some energy there. And you're the only one that can do that. The other stuff has to be done by somebody else, if it can be. And lots of times when you start to think about it, there are people you can hand things off to. Even if you're somebody who says, I can't, I don't have a team, ask yourself and double check, because I'm sure you can hand off a few things.
Oh my God. I had a client once who was telling me that regarding she was a single mom, And so what she ended up doing was doing like a cooking share thing. Right? Mm-hmm. Like one of them like went to the store and the other one like, you know, loved to like, you know, wash lettuce and chop vegetables, and they got together once a week, and that allowed them both to have more time to literally like go online, right? Because otherwise they
were
cooking and then the kids, and that way it was like done. And so it would be like 5 o'clock or 6 o'clock and dinner was easy and then bedtime was easier and they weren't like wasted, right, at the end of the night doing dishes and cooking and cleaning. So I think creativity is a really important, and you know, you and I both know this, you know, how does this apply to me rather than this doesn't apply to me. So support
absolutely
comes in all sorts of flavors. Okay, what's the last step?
So the last step here is that dragons need tending. So you have to keep restarting until you're where you need to be, right? Mm. So if there was a dragon that lived outside your village, you would just keep checking, making sure that he stays outside the village, right?
Yes.
You just keep tending. And if you couldn't do it, you'd send somebody else to check in once in a while, right? So any big project that you're working on, you need to keep restarting. And in this context, we're talking about the project of starting and building a lifelong relationship. So you have to figure out how you're going to keep tending it just a little bit at a time. But tending looks like restarting, right?
Yeah.
I'm going to re-engage. I do it with my husband all the time. I did it when we were dating, right?
Yeah.
We're going to go out on a date. We're going to go do our own thing. And then we're going to come back together. We're going to go do our own thing. And then we're going to come back together. So keep restarting. And it's not a bad thing to restart. And sometimes when you just start to call it restarting, it makes it easier instead of I'm a failure because I didn't finish something. Just restart.
Well, yeah.
Really easy.
Especially because then you just go back to step one, which is recognize what's overwhelming you, right? So
yes,
I'm tending the dragon. Oh, the dragon, you know, likes cauliflower and I've been feeding it broccoli. So let's just notice that. And then I'll calm the interfere discussion. So this is such a powerful, powerful approach. I can think of a million people I would love to share this podcast with.
Beautiful.
Exactly. This is so, so helpful. Well, I have loved having you here. I think that, you know, this is one of the hidden unsexy reasons why women are still single, right?
I get it.
You know, it's like, oh, I date unavailable men. Oh, I need to lose weight. Oh, you know, it's like, you're actually not spending time doing it. Right.
So, yes.
Right. There's caretaking. There's not trusting yourself. You have to be in action. So this is like the key to the kingdom. You know, and I love we're talking about fairy tales and dragons, and this is the key to the kingdom, so that you can kind of keep your containment system really healthy and your environment setting you up and getting support and all those things. So I appreciate so much this conversation, Sarah, and any sort of last words of wisdom?
Yes. It's all a good idea until you take action. So what I want you to do, anybody listening here, is figure out one thing from our conversation today that Marnie and I have been having, one thing that you want to do today as soon as you're done listening to the call. And if you can't do it right away because you're going from one thing to the next, figure out sometime today in the next 24 hours one thing that you're going to implement. And if you want to learn more about how you manage time and tasks, I have a quick quiz called your True Focus Quiz, which is at truefocusquiz.com. And you could pop over there and learn a little bit more about your strengths and weaknesses related to managing your time and your tasks.
That is amazing. That's great. The link also, ladies, is in the show notes. I love homework. I love accountability. Let us know how you do in tending your little dragon so that you can find your prince. And I'm thinking of Shrek, right? There's a donkey,
yes,
and a dragon. There's a Shrek. There's the Princess Fiona. And we all live in the kingdom happily ever after. Thanks for being here, Sarah. I appreciate it. We'll talk to y'all soon. Ladies, remember, date with dignity. Bye-bye.